Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of my shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. I have about 2 years' worth of shows that you can listen to there. In fact, I have over 100 of different people that I've interviewed, from filmmakers to screenwriters to visual effects artists and more. In fact, last week I interviewed Dana Lehrer, who called me direct from Israel, and we talked about her film, Ella's Wedding Day, which is a great short film. It's got a lot of symbolism in it, and you can listen to that interview to find out more about where it's going to be showing next. Before that, I interviewed Grace McPhillips about her film, The Other One. She called me from Illinois, and so I have people from all over calling in. And today I'm going to be interviewing Vicky Lau, who I believe I have on the line. She's a writer, director, and producer of The Painter. And I think I have her here. Vicky, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Hi, thanks for calling in. Okay, we're going to dive right in. Now, tell us a little bit about your film and about what inspired you to create the short film, The Painter.
Basically, the film is about this painter that stumbles across an ancient paintbrush that allows him to break the boundaries between reality and fantasy with consequences that ensue. And what inspired me was interesting because the idea was born in October 2010, and it basically was left there because the team that I had back then didn't want to really execute the idea. And so I wanted to execute the idea really badly, and hence I brought it to life whenever the resources were available. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how long did it take you to write the script for this?
I believe it took me about 2 months, I think. Yes, 2 months to refine research and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, you specialize in visual effects, and this definitely showcases that. Tell me about how you were able to achieve some of those effects. You have great effects that you use. What kind of software did you use to create them?
It's interesting because for this project, I was basically open to any software. So personally, I used After Effects, but there were some artists on the team that used Nuke, Buju, as well as some software like Blender when people use Maya. So it's a myriad mix of different software, yep.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite software that you've learned that you really like to use?
I really prefer comfortably sticking to After Effects. So I find that the graphics interface is much more user-friendly and convenient compared to other software like Nuke. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, I know you used some green screen. Was there a lot of green screen actually used, or was a lot of it more just in the post-production? How did you use green screen in your film?
I believe there were two scenes which are fully green screen scenes, and there were some elements which were shot separately on green screen. So it's actually an interesting mix of the two. When we shot on green screen, that was interesting because there were no references or actual objects that the actors could react to because everything else is basically fake. So that was mm-hmm. a bit of a tough one. But, yeah, it was pretty interesting in the end. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, about how you work with your actors to create a scene when there's nothing to go by.
I'm trying to recall. Yeah, I'm trying to recall that. Those two scenes, that I think there were 20 shots that were on green screen. It's actually all shot in one day, so it kind of sped through the whole thing in a day shooting 20 shots on green screen. And I think the way I worked with him was, obviously the default, like imagining something's there, blah, blah, but I think I also set certain measurements on the green screen itself to pretend like that's actually a building or that's actually a tree or whatever, and that would be a good reference as to where in the space, in the virtual space, that he would be. Now, interestingly, that there are new technologies which allow actual projection of a virtual space, but obviously, you know, we didn't have that based on our budget. So, yeah, that's what I did for that part. So, cool.
Was it difficult editing, doing the visual effects using green screen, or was it not too bad?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Was it hard doing the post-productions using green screen, or do you like doing post-production as far as visual effects? Is it easier to do with green screen, or is it easier to do without green screen?
It's actually much more easier to do it without the green screen, I would say, because you have the live play and all the live shot elements there, and literally what you're trying to do is composite your visual effects in to make it match the environment. Now, I'm not saying that matching is easy, but definitely if you try to match environments, you have a reference to look at. But for if you're doing green screen, if the lighting is pretty bad, you first have to fix the green, and then there are other elements such as, okay, what about the scale of the environment? So that there are other difficult pointers to consider when just focusing entirely on a green screen.
Mm-hmm. And you had several locations, including a couple art stores, I believe, in there, if I remember right. How did you get those?
Oh, that was pretty fun because we actually got that for free, mainly because we were art students, so they allowed us to shoot that for free. And in fact, Blake is very kind because when they got the sort of finished film, they actually wanted to promote it as well on their Facebook page, which is very flattering. So, yeah, you could say that connections based on the fact that we're art students, you know, have helped. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you have seemed like you had a really large crew for a short film. Was that a good thing? Did it help out to have that many people on the set? Or would you think maybe in the next short film you'd have less people? Why did you have such a large crew?
That's interesting. No one really asked me that before. Well, I think that which is a good question. Now I have to think about it. So I think on set, there were some people that didn't have to be there. Basically, we had extra manpower, which is not really doing much of anything. But it's always good in post-production and pre-production to have as many people as possible, especially for the visual effects, because if we had less visual effects artists, the film might have been delayed slightly. But as for on set, I believe there was a bit too much, but it helped in every way to get things done in the end. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would think it would hurt your craft service budget.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was complaining about that. Actually, I was kind of making a lot of noise about the craft services. But anyway, that aside, yeah.
Tell me about your cast, how you found the cast and you know, how you did the casting process for them and all of that.
I believe late in the time of pre-production, we had a casting director on board, and she helped us. And she helped us find the female actor, but the other guy, it was hard because it was hard to get that specific look that we were looking for. So in the end, my co-producer, after searching through some websites, found the guy who played the painter. So it was a contribution on both ends. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a very interesting look. I love the hair.
Oh, yes.
It just you know, added to kind of this melancholy kind of character that would be the type that would create a new world for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did you shoot with? What did you shoot on?
The film was shot on the red camera.
Did you like working with that camera?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Did you like working with that camera?
Yes, it was actually my first time working with Red. So I was impressed by not only the size, but the quality of the footage that came out from the Red camera.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're used to doing special effects. What did you think about the directing process? Do you like doing the special effects more, or do you think now you'll do more directing?
I'm actually more interested in the producing part, but I would still stick to my guns and say visual effects is still my number one favorite of anything else. Not only because that I guess if you're directing with visual effects specialization, you actually understand better how to relate to an actor when there's any imaginary elements to be incorporated in the scene. So I think that kind of helps twist or refine my directing style to suit the film in a way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you interned on The Walking Dead. Tell us a little bit about your job there and how you got into working there and what it was like working for the show.
Basically, yeah, the internship was at a visual effects studio in Los Angeles, Stargate Studios. And what I did was I started with some little small shots like rotoscoping certain things or whatever, and eventually did some bigger shots. Now, I can't really go into much detail. Well, I think I might be able to. I don't know, because it's out there already. So, yeah. So I'm just thinking how I can say this without breaking my confidentiality thing. But eventually I did bigger shots. I believe the first episode of season 4, you saw those zombies falling through the ceiling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, that episode, I had like a few shots that entirely done with the blood and all the muzzle flash and the lights and the ceiling and stuff. So, yeah, I didn't actually go on set. It would be nice, but that's basically my role and position in doing the visual effects behind the screen. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And you also worked on Dracula as well. Was that kind of the same thing?
Yeah, it's basically, there was, I did less for that because I think I heard in the end we didn't get, re-picked up by NBC or whatever, but anyway, I think that was a less dominant role compared to The Walking Dead, which I did more, contributed more visual effects shots to The Walking Dead,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you watch these shows yourself? Do you watch them?
Yes, I am a big fan of The Walking Dead. I think I watched the entire series so far, twice already. So, yeah, I'm a pretty big fan. As for Dracula, I watched only a few, and I was like, yeah, I prefer
to watch
it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I actually watched Dracula. I was like, oh, it's over already.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for the new season. Is it weird? I'm sorry?
Is it weird? I'm sorry, say
that
again?
Oh, no, I was going to say, is it weird for you to watch something after you know you've spent so much time watching it, doing the special effects? Is it hard to then, like, suspend your disbelief and treat it as like a show rather than something that you've, you know, spent so much detailed time on?
Yes, that's actually a very good question because I have done this AFI shot as well and saw it on a big screen, and I was very particular about the like any moving elements or like rotoscoping errors. And then as for what you mentioned, because the shot was so quick, it wasn't that the effect of it didn't last that long, or in terms of whether I was, whether this shot worked. But ultimately, I think that, yes, it is rather strange because you know what it looks like before the visual effects was done. So now you're looking at it, okay, did you notice there was a shifting of the rotoscoping or whatever? So, yeah, but yes, it's very strange. It's like the actors watching themselves act kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, I know when I used to do extra work, I would end up concentrating on the extras in the scene. They know,
yeah.
You focus in on one little thing, one element of the movie or the TV show, instead of getting the overall picture. And I'm sure it's the same thing for you. You're focusing on that effect, right?
Yeah, exactly, yes.
What would be your advice for someone who wants to get into doing special effects?
That's a good question. Advice, I believe, keep yourself updated on the software and keep working at it because practice does make perfect. And at the same time, I don't know about school, but I mean, I did go to school for business. So if that's an option in terms of money or finances, it would be a good thing to consider because they not only provide you with the software, which you probably need money to pay for anyway, to do it, illegally, but it will give you the good opportunity to exercise your skills on certain projects or on school projects. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about how you trained to be a visual effects artist. Did you do it on your own? Did you go to school?
Yes, I did a little bit of both. I started in Singapore. I did some little small visual effects on my own, by myself, before I went to school. And then I went to school focusing on digital media, and after which went to the U.S. also doing visual effects. So it was a combination of both.
You did some projects in Singapore as well?
Yes. I believe I shot my first shot in Singapore. It's called Overload, and that was also a visual effects intensive shot. There were a bunch of other projects that I did. But, yeah, basically, you could say that I started out in Singapore and then came over to the U.S. and did continue what I was doing in Singapore, in the U.S., yeah.
What is it like filming something in Singapore as far as permitting and that type of thing? Is it easier to film in the United States or is it easier in Singapore?
I think actually it's much easier to film in Singapore. Or actually it might be reasonable to say it's much easier to film in anywhere that you're from in a way. But in Singapore, because I was a student, and I apologize for the noise outside, by the way, but anyway, in Singapore, because I was a student, that not only helps with the fact that there are no permits that you have to get, unless you're doing this really big-scale feature production, where you just go to this organization which is in charge of all the media in Singapore, and you apply for one permit. And I believe, if I recall correctly, it allows you to shoot anywhere, as long as you show the whoever who owns that place or whoever's in charge of that place the permit that you have. So, yeah, that's pretty cool thing. Yep.
If you were to film your movie again, The Painter, what would you do differently? Would you change anything?
Oh, very good question. Excellent. I would try to find the DP before, like, 1 week, at least. I mean, we had a DP, we couldn't find one until 1 week before the shoot. So if we could change anything, yeah, I mean, it was really crazy. If we could change anything, it would be definitely finding him way before that. So it helped the communication process on set, as well as, him knowing what shot's going on. So, yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, I was so shocked and surprised and happy that we eventually found a VP at least 1 week before. But if not, it'll be even worse. Yeah.
How did you work with the DP as far as telling him your shot sequence? Did you have it storyboarded, or how did that work?
I believe I had all the storyboards planned out. So I was showing him the shots that I had. I think it was about 80 shots. And then I was just going on to describe if any of the drawings didn't make sense, I was just describing what they meant and how they link up together. So, yeah, there was definitely storyboards, and I believe the AD printed out some sheets, and it was spread around on set, so we all know what's going on. Yep.
Okay. Now, your film was shown at the Palm Beach International Film Festival back here in April this month. Where does it go next? How could people see it?
I'm currently waiting for other notifications from other festivals. Actually, I'll be hearing back from one other festival in May. But so far, you could say that I've kind of submitted it to a whole range of festivals, but now I'm just waiting to hear back. So, yep, in May we'll know. We'll know from one, yes.
So it'll be, do you have a website or something where you're going to have listings of all the festivals?
Yes, actually that's a very good question. Because of the shot, I didn't have its own separate website, but I placed it on my website, the front page, where probably once I hear back from the other festivals, it would be listed there, all the festivals that it's showing. So, yes.
And can you give us your website?
Oh, yeah, okay. It's called lauvicki.com, lauvicki.com.
Okay. Now, what's next for you? Are you still going to be doing work with some of these shows, or are you doing another film? Like, what's coming up next?
Right now, I'm actually back at the visual effects studio, Stargate, which is doing visual effects for a short term of doing magic for freelance period. I'm currently working on some of the visual effects for Hemlock Grove, Parks and Recreation, I think, and Grey's Anatomy. So, yeah, I'm just back in the TV segment doing some little visual effects here and there. Yeah.
Do you think you're going to do another film for yourself soon, or is that something, you know, in the future you're still promoting this one?
I know I'm definitely still promoting this one at this point. And as for a film, yeah, there are some plans in the making for a feature, a dramedy actually, but that right now is kind of still in development. So yeah, you can say that it's probably, you ask me 1 year later, it'll be done. It'll be in pre-production.
In a year from now?
Yes.
So in a year from now, when that's done, we can bring you back and we can talk about that one too.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'll be happy to talk about it. It's very exciting. Actually, it'll be my first feature, so, and I'll not be doing any other producers. Yeah.
Okay. Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you want to tell us about you or your film that we missed?
You mean the short film, basically? Well, I could say that it's a very highly conceptual film. So if you're going to watch it, you're not going to have the same perspective as the other person sitting right next to you. Because what's interesting is that when I've asked other people who've watched it and what they think about it, they all tell me it's similarly themed, but very different opinions, different perspectives of how they took the film away. So that's a good thing, and that's something to look forward to, definitely.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like looking at a piece of art, because it is kind of a piece of art. And everyone has a different opinion.
Yep, definitely.
Great. Well, thank you for being on the show today, Vicky.
All right, no problem. And I apologize in advance for the noise outside. It's my housemate making a noise.
Yeah, it's a little hard to hear you, but I'm not sure if it's your phone or the noise outside, but it was a little hard to hear you, unfortunately. But when we bring you back next time, hopefully it'll be better.
All right. Yeah, definitely.
All right. I'll keep in touch with you. Thank you, Vicky.
All right, no problem.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, well, that was a great interview with Vicky Lau, short but sweet. And you can go back and listen to it. There was a little bit of sound quality issues. Hopefully it came out better than what I was hearing. But hopefully you were able to hear it okay. And I will be putting together some information for my next issue of Independent Streak magazine about her film. And if you missed my show last week, I did announce the launch of my magazine. So I will tell you again now, my new magazine, Independent Streak Magazine, is now launched. It has the May issue. And my website for the magazine is not quite up yet, but that will be up soon. It's independentstreakmagazine.com. It should be up in the next few days. In the meantime, I put the link to the magazine in my profile here on the radio show. So you can go into my profile where it talks about this show, and you can see the link. Hopefully it comes up. Otherwise, please go to my Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/indiestreak, just like this show, and click on, I'm going to be putting the magazine up there, so you can click on the link and read the magazine. The magazine basically is a way for me to promote not only the filmmakers that I interview on this show, but also other filmmakers as well. I have interviews, reviews, events, all kinds of things. I do focus on international filmmakers, specifically independent filmmakers, although we'll have a couple mainstream people in there. And I do have a bit of a focus on South Florida since that's where I live. But, for example, in this issue, I have a Q&A with Jason Priestley, who did Cass and Dylan, which is his independent film. His directorial debut. He's on my cover. I also have an interview with Ian Vernon, who I interviewed twice on this show. He's from England. And I have actor spotlights and other directorial spotlights that I have in there from different parts of the country that will be in there. I forgot what I put in there already, but I have a lot of different things that you can check out, and I'm already working on next month's issue. So if you're interested in being featured in the magazine, please email me, or if you're interested in doing an ad or sponsoring the magazine, I would love that. You can email me as well for information. My email address is ravenprods@yahoo.com. That's R-A-V as in Victor, E-N, P as in Productions, P-R-O-D-S, at yahoo.com, ravenprods at yahoo.com. Also, if you'd like to be featured on this show, you can email me as well. Okay, guys, also remember that the Super Geek Film Festival is just around the corner, and that's something that I'm involved with as well. I do mention that in the magazine. And you can just Google Florida SuperCon Super Geek Film Festival and find out all the information. We are still looking for films, especially short films, in specific genres, including fantasy, anime, RPG, gaming, sci-fi. We do have a horror block as well. So if you are interested in sending in your film, there's still time. The deadline is May 9th, so it's just around the corner. There's a $20 fee. You can find out all the information if you Google it, and we would be happy to take a look at what you have. I will be doing the majority of the Q&As and panels for the festival. So anyone that's involved that is in a panel, I will be there. So if you come to the Florida SuperCon, you will see me. I'll be all over the place. So that's not until July 3rd through 6th, but you can catch me there. In the meantime, I will be back here next week, same time, same channel, with another director or another film industry professional to interview. So please check in next week. In the meantime, please go to my Facebook page, like I mentioned, and please like the page because I'm trying to get more followers on my Facebook. I would really appreciate it. And I do put stuff up there, not just about the magazine and the directors here, but events, castings, etc. So check that out. I also have another website I will plug, which is independentstreak.ning, N-I-N-G.com. I have stuff up there, too. I have stuff everywhere. Okay, guys, thank you for tuning in, and I will talk to you next week. Thanks. Bye.